Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the top line of daf Lamed Ches. Before we begin, we will be referring back to an item mentioned on Lamed Zayim Omid Beis, known as Kuba Di'aro. Rashi on Lamed Zayim Omid Beis, five lines from the very bottom, he explains Kuba Di'aro. Oise mokoim chalal bakira. He makes a type of hollow inside an oven wall. V'nosein besochel mayim v'kemach, and he pours into it water and flour. Kamosha oisim be'ilfis, as one might do in a pan. So now our Gemara. Amalei abaye l'rav Yosef. Hai Kuba Di'aro, mai mevorchin iluya. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a Lamed Zion indicator, showing you that over there, if you find a parallel arrow, you'll see where this is, what this is referring to. So the question is, what bracha do you make on this? Amale mi sabris namahu guvla bialmahu. Rav Yosef says, do you think this is bread? It's not bread. It's a mere mixture of flour and water. Marzutra kova sudose ole uborachale hamotzidach minoretz v'sholosh brachos. Marzutra established his meal based on this food item, and as a result, made the bracha of hamotzidach minoretz and sholosh brachos birchas hamozon. Omar Barbara Vashi, Odom Yotze Bohen Yedecho Vasu bePesach. A person could fulfill his matzah requirement through eating Kuba Di'aro. My time all. Well, how is that? Answer: Lechem oini karinon bay. It fills the requirements or the description of what the Torah says is matzah, namely lechem oini, the bread of the poor. The Omar Mor Rav Ashi, hai dubsha de tamri. Here we have a new food item, and the question is, what's the bracha over this? So he says, mevorchin iluya shal kol niyah bedvaro. Well, first of all, what's dubsha de tamri? Very simply, it's honey that is based on the exusion of dates. Date honey. Now, dates, everyone knows, is the fruit itself is bori priol eitz. What about the exusion of these fruits? So he says, the Gemara says that we make a shehakol niyeh bedvaro brochanet maitaimo. Why is that? Answer, zeo bi'almohu. It's a mere, the word zeot is associated with sweat, but we'll call it an exusion. The Rashi on the fourth line from the top, zeot bi'amahu, v'eino pri levorechov borei pri ha'etz. It's not considered the fruit. So the Gemara continues, keman, this ruling of dvash tamorim getting a broch of shakol is like whom? Kihai Tana Adisnan, it's like Rabbi Yoshua, who will appear at the end of this source. In other words, the point is, the need to define Devash Tamarim as not the fruit itself. So we'll have Emach Lokas Tanoim, and the topic here concerns a non-Kohen consuming Truma. So the source says, Devash Tamarim V'yayin Tapuchin, V'choymetz sfonios, ushar mei peros shel truma. The list of items here includes a number of different exusions, but what we want to focus on is the dvash tamarim, which we've dashed underline. If a non-kohen eats it, so Rabbi Lezer mechayev keren v'choymesh, he says that one will be chayev to pay the principal and the fifth. Rabbi Yeshua poter, Rabbi Yeshua says he doesn't pay the principal and a fifth on consuming that, which one would have had to pay had he consumed actual truma fruits. Let's look at Rashi. Rabbi Yeshua Poter, the Zeya Biamu, it's mere sweat. It's like water. The Ain Shein Truma Chal Olav, the term or the categorizing it as Truma does not apply. The Ain Lecha Pri Hanitan Lemashke, there is really no fruit per se whose liquid has fruit significance, Ela Zesim Vanovim Bolvad, with the exception of olives and their olive oil, and grapes, the wine. Those are two exceptions, and that this Shita of Rabbi Yeshua is Vahainu Kemor Bravashi. This conforms to Mor Bravashi that said that date honey will receive a shehakol because it is Zeo Biyama, it's not considered the actual fruit. The Gemara continues, Omar Le'ahu Merabonan L'Rova, Tremo Mahu. Rashi, Tremo Mahu, Ma Mevorchim Olav. What bracha does one make over Tremo? V'shem Tremo, the term Tremo, called Dover HaKosush K'sas V'enim Rusak. Something that's crushed, but not totally ground up. Called a type of chunky grinding. So the question was posed to Rava, what bracha does one make on Trema? And lo have adaite de Rava mai ko'omale. Rava at this point didn't understand what was being asked of him. Rashi says, lo hoya mevin mahushol. He didn't understand what he was being asked. In other words, it would seem that Rava at this point didn't understand the word Trema, wasn't familiar with that expression. So the story continues. Yosef Ravino kamei de Rava. Ravino was seated in the presence of Rava, and apparently Ravino knew what the term was, and he attempts to joggle the mind of Rava through questions that he poses to the questioner. Omar Le, Ravina turns to the Hahumir Abonin that came to ask Rava the question. He says, De Shumshami Ko Amris, O De Kurtami Ko Amris, O De Purtani Ko Amris. Which Trema are you asking about? Are you asking about Shumshami, like Sesame Trema, or Kurtami? Rashi says, is Karkoim, another type of plant that's ground up and they put wine into it and drink it. The shumshim, or the purtzani, this is crushed grape, possibly grape debris. Rashi says ksishas anovim loseis lesoich hachartzani mayim lasas temed. This is when someone would crush the grape, and particularly the grape seeds, and then add water, and the water would absorb a taste from this crushed grape matter and become a type of beverage called temed. So Ravina posed a series of possibilities as to what kind of trema he is asking about. So when Rava heard this, Adahochi Vochi, in the meantime, Aske Rava Ladaite, it occurred to Rava, Omar Le, Rava then said, Oh, Chashilta Vaday Koamris. You're obviously asking about Chashilta. Now, Rashi, Amalei Rava, Chashilta Koamris, Mitoch Divrei Ravina, through the discussion of Ravina, Hevin Rava as a Sheila. He understand what the question was. Amalei, Dover Mo'uch Shaltan. You're asking me about something that's been crushed. Kamo, and now the term Chashilta, and crushed kemobe chashilta deshchitas chulin, as is mentioned chulin. The term chashilta appears in the context of bei chashilta. So now the story continues. The adkarton milsa, you reminded me of something. Hodiyomer Rav Asi, that which Rav Asi taught. Hai tamri shel truma. Dates of Truma. Truma dates, these were dates that were set aside as a tithe to be given to the Kohen, and it's understood that that one must care for and not destroy, not ruin the fruits set aside as a Truma tithe. And yet we are taught, Rav Asi teaches, that Tam Rishil Truma, Truma dates, Mutu Lasu Ismaim Trema. it's allowed. One is allowed to make from it trema, and that's not considered a ruination of the dates. Now, what's the point for us? It means that by grinding or crushing the dates, as Rashi said, it's not totally ground up, it's crushed, doesn't change the identity. Otherwise, it would be considered a ruination of the dates. So it's not considered a ruination, and therefore the bracha will be the original fruit bracha, namely borei pri ha'etz. The osur lasus mehen shechar. It's forbidden to make from the dates of truma to process them into beer, because although beer is a byproduct, you would be in effect ruining the dates in the process. V'ilchasa tamri va'avdinu trema. The Gemara rules that dates that are made into trema, mevorchen alayu borei pri ha'etz. Mai taima? Why is that? The milsayu kaimi kin mekor. They continue their identity as they were originally. It's true they're crushed, but they retain their original identity in this form. A new food item, shesisa. Rashi across from here says, two up. Michael also mikemach kloyus. It's a food item made from the flour of roasted grain. Shnis yafshu b'tanu b'od shashibolim lachem. When the stalks were still fresh, they were put into an oven, and there's a note on the side, the noisin l'seichei dvash, and honey is added to this. So it's flour made from roasted grains with honey added. So that's shesisa. Rav Omar Shakol Niabidvoroi, Ushmuel Omar Borei Minei Mezoinois. Omar Rav Chista, Velo Pligi. There isn't a machlokis per se. It depends on the consistency. If it's a thick consistency, so it will get a borei minei mezonos. If it's a liquidy consistency, then it will get the brocha of shehakol. The Gemara explains, elaborates on this. Ova lachilo avdi law. If it's thick, so it's made for eating, and Rashi says ufa milsa kaimo, it retains its original identity, and that is of a flour base, which will generate the borei minei mezonos bracha. Rako lerefua ka'avdila. If it's thin, if it's liquidy, which is what Rav was addressing, it's made for medicinal purposes. Mosiv Rav Yosef. Now, just let's go over a point before we read the Kasha. The description of shesisa that gets a shehakol is a liquidy shesisa, which is made for medicinal purposes. Now, Mosiv Rav Yosef. Vishoven. Vishoven is a reference to a machloikis tanoim that on this point they will agree, and Rashi gives a little bit of the background. When referring to the machlokes tanoim, let's correct us. It's not the Rashi, rather the Tosfos makes a reference to the background, and he says it's a reference to Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, and Rebbe are arguing about a related matter. Here they agree, v'shoven, they agree, sheboichashin es hashosus b'shabas v'shoysin zesum hamitzri. Now, shosus is shesisa for our purposes, and bochashin means they stir the shosus on Shabbos. Now, the fact that you're allowed to prepare it or to deal with it on Shabbos shows us, the Gemara says, that it wouldn't be for medicinal purposes because medicine taking on Shabbos is prohibited. If you were to think that the shesisa has a refuah aspect, then refuah b'Shabbos mishori is of the practice of medicine on Shabbos, taking medicines, taking potions on Shabbos. Would that be allowed? No. So here we are describing the stirring of a liquidy shosus on Shabbos. It must be that it's not for refuah purposes. Omar le Abaye, v'at lo tizbara. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, and you don't agree with that? V'ha'atnan, what about the following? It says, Kol ha'ochlan ochel adam l'refuah b'shabbos, v'ha'mashkin shoyseh. All food items, if they and beverages that one ordinarily eats and drinks, if they happen to offer you relief on from some type of pain or discomfort, one is allowed to consume them on Shabbos, even though it's for refuah, isn't it? Elama is loch lemeimar. What are you, Rav Yosef, going to say about this source that we just read? You'll have to say, in the person is eating it with an intent of eating, and ochinami gavro lachilo komachavin. So too with regard to the shosus, the liquidy shosus, he's consuming that with a consumption intent, and therefore it's not directly a function of taking medicine. Mishnachrina, another version of this answer, maybe even a clearer version, is Elomai isloch lemeimar. What are you, Rav Yosef, going to say about the source that said Kol ochlan ochel adam l'refuah b'shabbos? You'll say about that Gavra l'achilu kamechavin refuah memelo kahavya. His intention is for eating, and the good feeling that he will have as a result, something it happens. Hachinami, so too with regard to the shasisa, la'achilo kamechavin refuah memelo kahavya. And he's consuming it for eating purposes, and the amelioration that he experiences is something that happens on its own. In other words, it's not a direct intention, isolated purpose for its consumption. And therefore, the description that Rav Chisda gave before about the raka being lirafua is not in contradiction to anything else that we've learned. It could very well be that the shasisa raka provides comfort and relief from some type of pain. The Gemara goes on to say, utzricha de Rav. It was important for Rav to say regarding the shasisa that you make a shehakol nia bidvaro. Meaning, even though Rashi explains it, even though we have a source on regarding Shabbos that it's considered food and it's mutter on Shabbos, it's nevertheless important to be told this additional information that you need to make a bracha. And the Gemara explains, the e mehai. Had I had just the halacha of Shabbos that you can prepare that you can stir the shasis on Shabbos, hava mina la'achilo kamechavein uremufua memelo kahavya. I would have thought that as far as Shabbos is concerned, his intention is for eating, and the refuah happens by the way, making it allowed for preparation on Shabbos. Aval hocha, but with regard to the din of Rav. Let us say someone took the shasisa purely with the intent of its ameliorative capacity. So, lo livri chalei klal. I would have thought that no bracha should be made whatsoever. Rav tells us that since he does have benefit from it, boi bruchi. That is what generates the bracha requirement. This, by the way, is a point that we have seen in the past in this very perek. The Gemara continues. Shal hapas hu oimer hamoitzi v'chulei. The point of this Gemara, but we might as well look at our topic heading on the side, be'inyin nusach birchas hamoitzi. The topic of Gemara will deal with the text of that bracha. Machlikis im hamotzi, the word hamotzi, particularly with the hey, the word hey, hamotzi, with the hey, is that ovar or osid? Is that a past tense expression, which is a binding requirement for a bracha, or is a future tense? Tanu Rabbana, ma hu omer. Hamotzi lechem in arts, Menachem Yomer, motzi lechem in arts. Tanakama says that the bracha over bread is hamotzi with the hay, and Reb Nechemya says the word motzi lechem. Omar Rava, the motzi kuli amalo pligi de apik mashma. With regard to the definition of the word motzi, everyone agrees that it has a past tense connotation. The word apik is past tense, that he brought forth in the past. Tichtiv, and the pasuk that indicates this, kel motzi om mitzrayim. This was said by Bilam. We have this in the Parshas Balak. At that point, the Kodesh Baruch Hu had already taken the Jews out of Mitzrayim, which is what the pasuk says. So, kel motziom without a hey indicates past tense. Ki pligi, the machloikis that we saw between the Tanakama and Rebbe Nechemya, behamotzi, concerns the definition of that word, hamotzi, with the hey. Rabbonon Savri, hamotzi, de apik mashma, the word hamotzi, with the hey, is also past tense, which would fulfill the requirement for a bracha text. You need to have it in past tense. Dichtiv, hamotzi l'chomayim mitzura chalomish. This pasuk is a reference to the Almighty that already brought forth water from the rock. It's a past tense statement. For Rabbi Nechemya Savar, Hamoitzi de Mapik Mashmapik. These are Aramaic words. We had Apik and now Mapik. Apik was past tense, and Mapik means future, will bring forth. Shenemar, the pasuk says Hamoitzi Eschem Itachas Sivlois Mitzrayim. This pasuk, when it was stated, and it's from Shmois Perek Vav Pasuk Zion, this pasuk was said to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Jews had not as yet left the bondage and servitude of Mitzrayim, and so you see the word Hamotzi indicates the Almighty that will take them from under the grip of Egypt. V'Rabbonan. Now, the Rabbonan who said that the pasuk has a past tense connotation. So, how do the Rabbonan deal with this particular pasuk, which uses the word hamotzi, and ostensibly it looks like it's future? V'Rabbonan, hahu hachi k'omelu k'tshibrichu liYisrael. That pasuk is to be understood as follows: the Almighty says to Israel, "Kad mafikna luchu, when I will take you out." Avidna lechumilsa ki echi diad isu danohu de afikis yascha mitzrayim. I will do for you something that you will then know. I am the Almighty that took you out. That I am the one that took you out of Mitzrayim. Tichtiv, the pasuk says right over there in Shmois Perek Vav Pasuk Zayin, Vidatem ki ani Hashem Elokechem hamotzi, and you will know that I am the one that took you out. So in fact, the word in that very pasuk hamotzi means past tense. Mishtabchin le Rabbonon le Rabbi Zera, the Rabbonon told Rabbi Zera, they praised Es Bar Rav Zvid, Achva Rav Shimon Bar Rav Zvid. They praised the son of Rav Zvid, who happened to be the brother of a well-known personality of Rav Shimon Bar Rav Zvid, the Odom Godol Hu Boki B'brochas Hu. They said about this brother of Shimon Bar Rav Zvid is a great man who is an expert in the realm of brochas. Omar Lohem, Rabbi Zera said, L'chshavu liadchem aviu liyodi. When he comes to you, send him over to me. Zim nochad iklo l'gabei. Afikule Rifta. So one day he came by and they brought out some bread. And now it was time to make a broch on the bread. The Rifta is the bread. Posach v'Omar, this Bar Rav Zvid said, Motzi. Omar, Rabbi Zera heard that and said, Zehu Shomer Lavdolam Golohu Boki B'brochazu. This is the fellow that you said is a great man and is an expert in brochas. And you see, Rabbi Zera expresses a certain level of disappointment, if you will. He says, Bishlamo Iomar Hamoitzi, if he would have said Hamoitzi with the hay in his bracha, then Ashmi'inan Taimov, Ashmi'inan Behilchusa Karabonan, that would have been settling things. First of all, that would have been shedding light on the Taimo, is the explanation of the Pasuk. Hamotzi Eschem Mitachas Mitzrayim. You would have been giving us a past tense connotation to that word in the pasuk, and you would have also been settling the Machlokes Tanoim and going like the Rabbanan that Hamotzi is a past tense expression, hence is an acceptable nusach. Ela the Omar Motzi, but by using the term Motzi, my Komash Malon, what are you telling us? Everyone agrees with that. You're not telling us anything new. So that's Rabbi Zeiro's reaction to Bar Rav Zvid's recitation of the bracha using the term Motzi without the hay, the ihu. Now, what about Bar Rav Zvid? He wanted to take himself, extricate himself from controversy. Namely, he wanted to say something in his text that was non-controversial. The Hilchasa and the Gemara rules Hamotzi Lechem Min Oretz. We will make the bracha with the hay. The Kaimalon Karabonon, the Omar De Apik Mashmavet. We hold like the Rabbanan that say that with the hay, it has that past tense that he brought forth in the past. You might ask, why take a controversial expression as part of the to formulate the bracha text? So Tosfos at the top, Hilchasa Hamotzi, V'afal pi de b'motzi kulam lo pligi di apik mash. Even though the word motzi, everyone agrees, is past tense, that the one who brought forth the bread. Yushalmim forish taimon. Yushalmi, an explanation is given that why we use the hey hamotzi. Kedei shelo arev oisis kigoin ha'olam. We say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ho'olam. The next word, Motzi, had it been with a mem, so it would have had the two mems back to back, and it could sound like one word, these two terms fused together, so as to cause a forced break in the words. After you say Ho'olam, you then say Ha with a Hey Ha Motzi, so it doesn't sound like two. It doesn't sound like one long word. We will go back to the Gemara. The Al Hayarokos Omer v'chulei. This part of the Mishnah was coming just on the heels of the reference to the bread bracha. Kotoni Yarokos Dumi the Pas. The Mishnah teaches Yarokos similar to bread, meaning they're taught in the same breath or they're taught next to each other. So contextually they're related, and we derive from this a point. Ma pas shinishtana yideo ur, just like bread is something that is a product that is a result of heat influence, namely bread was baked, so the fire heat was an element in the formation of the bread. Af Yerokos Nami Shnishtanoi Deur. So too the Yerokos featured in the Mishnah are Yerokos, or vegetables that it were cooked. In order to cook, you need the fire. And what's the point? The point is even though they were exposed to cooking, they retain their original status, meaning vegetables with a Bore Pri Vadoma Bracha. Omar Avnoi Mishmei Dabaye Zoisemeres. From this we shall conclude Shlokos Mevorchen Alehen Borei Priyadoma. On boiled vegetables, one makes a Borei Priyadoma Brocha. This is going to become a rather extensive discussion for the balance of this Omid of Gemara, for the balance of this page of Gemara. On the side, we entitled this section the Brocha notes under the notes say heading Brocha al Yerokos Mevusholos, which is also referred to as Shlokos. As the Gemara goes on, we'll notice a new geometric form. The diamond appears, and on the side we have under our Mivneh heading, these are Shnei Deos Beinyan Hanal, two opinions regarding the matter of cooked vegetables. So we have a Roman numeral number 1 here, and a number of lines later you'll see a Roman numeral number 2, both to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. Dorash Rav Chisda Mishum Rabbeinu. Umanu, and who is Rabbeinu? Rav. So Rav Chissa said in the name of Rav, Shlokos Mivorchen Aleim Borei Pri Adama. Boiled vegetables are blessed through the blessing recited over them is Borei Pri Adama. Rabosenu Hayordim Me'eretz Yisrael. The Rabosenu, the rabbis that left Eretz Yisrael, Umanu, and who is that a reference to? Ula Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan Omar Shlokos Mivorchen Aleim Shakol Nir Bedvoroi. V'ani Omer, this is Rav Chisda, to resolve this machlokes, he says, Kol shetchilaso borei pri adama, a vegetable that in its raw form you would have made a borei pri adama on it, shalkoi, shakol nevivoro, through boiling it, you will reduce it to the lower level, more general type bracha of shehakol. The chol shetchilaso shehakol nevivoro, something that starts off in its raw state, as even though it's a vegetable, but in its raw state, you would make a shehakol, and this will have to be explained a bit later. It's not very clear. Shalkoi borei pri adama. By boiling it, you will then make a borei pri adama. So the Gemara says, maybe ironically, that the second point is clear, but we have to explain it all the same. Bishlama kol shetchilas shehakol nivivaro shalkoi borei pri adama. How is it that a vegetable starts off with a shehakol brocha? The Gemara explains mishkachas lo bekarva. This is to be the case with kruv, or bekarva, visalka, vikora. Very simply, these are vegetables that one does not eat when they are raw. They are eaten only cooked. So if you eat it raw, you're eating it in an unusual way, and therefore it's the bracha to be recited is going to be shehakol. It doesn't have its true vegetable definition when you are eating it in an unprepared form, in the way it shouldn't be eaten or is not normally eaten. Therefore, that's something that's tchilas shehakol midvaro. By cooking it, you elevate it, and it gets the more defined, more specific bracha, the higher form bracha of borei pri adama. Ella, the Gemara goes on, kol shetchilaso borei pri adama shalko shehakol, something that starts off as a borei pri adama, and then by boiling it, you're reducing its edibility, or you're ruining it from its desirable state. And these are vegetables that are desirable when they are raw. Hechi mishkachas lo, when do you have that? What is an example of that? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Mishkachas lo b'tumi v'karsi. This is the case with regard to tumi and karsi. The translations of these things we will hesitate on when it comes to translating in Gemara markings. We don't commit ourselves to the translation of plants and animals, unless we have a solid tradition on them. But for our purposes, we can suggest an example of something that raw you would make a borei pri adama, and cooked, no, take something like lettuce. Fresh lettuce. It's almost unheard of to hear of lettuce being cooked and then eaten, so that if one were to have cooked lettuce, he would make a shehakol on it. The same may be said for other kinds of vegetables. Some that come to mind would be cucumbers. One doesn't often hear of people cooking cucumbers. So in the raw form, you would make a borei pri adama. That's the way they are ordinarily eaten. But once cooked, you would not make a borei pri adama. Dorash Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbeinu. Umanu Shmuel. Shlokos mevorchen aleim borei pri adama. V'chaveirenu hayordim eretz Yisrael monu ula mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. And here is before we refer, he was referred to as Rabosenu. That was Rav Chisda speaking in addressing and referring to ula. Here you have Rav Nachman telling the same story, but he refers to ula as our colleague. And so Ula Mishmeri Rav Yochanan says, Omar Shlokos Mevorcha Aleim Shakol Nia Bedvaroi. Vani Omer Bemachloikes Shnuya. This is Rav Nachma saying, I believe that the positions taken by Shmuel, who said Bor Pri Adoma, and Rabbi Yochanan, who is quoted by Ula saying Shakol, really parallels in Machlokes Tanoim. That's what he says by Machlokes Shnuya de Sanya. And we're going to have a source here that doesn't actually deal with vegetables per se, but it deals with what happens to something when it's cooked. According to Shmuel, it would appear that cooking doesn't undo the original identity. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it would appear that cooking does undo the original identity. So the source is referring to matzah on Pesach, and it says Yoytzin Beroki Kashori Uvemavushal Shalom Nimuach Divrei Rabbi Meir. A person will be Yoytzin his matzah requirement with a rokik is a like a loaf or a baked piece of baked good that's soaked or cooked, as long as it hasn't melted. Reb Yosi Yomer Yoytzin Beroki Kashori Al V'Loy B'Mevushal Afal Pi Shaloni Moach. According to Reb Yosi, one does not fulfill his matzah requirement if it's cooked matzah. So it would appear then, according to the Tanakhama, cooking doesn't change the original status. And according to Reb Yosi, cooking does change the original status. And that would explain we could parallel the Machlokes Shmuel and Reb Yochanan thusly. However, the Gemara says, Velohi, the Kuli Alma Shlokos Mevorchen Aleim Bori Pri Adoma. As far as these Tanoim are concerned, Rabbi Meir and Reb Yosi, they would all agree that Shlokos gets a Bori Pri Adoma. The Ad Kan Lo Komer Rabbi Yosi Hasam Elo Mishum De Boinon Ta'a Matzah Veleka. And Rabbi Yosi, who indicated that cooking does change status, that's only with regard to matzah, because there's an additional requirement of having a matzah taste when you're eating matzah on Pesach. And if it's cooked, so it loses that special matzah taste. Avol Hocha, Afilu Rabbi Yosi Mode. But here in the case of Shlokos, even Rabbi Yosi will agree regarding the Brocha that it maintains its original status, namely Borei Pri HaAdoma. The Gemara goes on with a flurry of shitos and points of discussion. So we continue with the Gemara, but before doing so, we look at the side under our Nosei Mivne heading. The triangles will appear, and they represent Shnei Deos B'daitos Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'amavor Chana Shlokos, two opinions within Rabbi Yochanan as to what the bracha on Shlokos should be. Now, we saw before Ula quoted Rabbi Yochanan, we'll see more opinions as to what Rabbi Yochanan says regarding Shlokos. The inverted triangle that will appear in a couple of lines from now are Arba Kushyos Neged Loleches B'Shitas Rabbi Yochanan Bar Yefes. There will be four questions against following the way of Rabbi Yochanan Bar Yefes, which we haven't seen yet in the Gemara, but he will represent an opinion that says, you say Shehakol. So four questions against the Shehakol, and we'll have, with the triangle facing point up, L'toivas Rabbi Yochanan. Those will be for the benefit of Rabbi Yochanan's Shita. So in the Gemara, Omar Rab Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan, Shlokos Mevorchen Bori Pri Adoma. Rabbi Yochanan bar Yefes Omar Rabbi Yochanan. He too quotes Rabbi Yochanan, says Shlokos Mevorchen Aleim Shakol Nia Bedvoroi. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Kova Ula L'Shabeshtei K'Rabbi Yochanan bar Yefes. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is not in approval of Ula's conclusion above, so he says that Ula arrived at his conclusion regarding the Shlokos as having a Shehakol based on the mess up, the mistaken conclusion of Rabbi Yochanan bar Yefes. Tohi bo Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera has a question, and you see there are a series of triangles that are inverted, And we know that these will be questions on how Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes' approach, namely that Rabbi Yochanan would tell you that the cooked vegetables get a shahakol. So he goes on, starts questions here. V'chima inyan Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes etzer Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. How could anyone, and like referring here to Ula, how could anyone choose Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes' approach over Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba's approach? You'll notice Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba also, he was the one right before the first triangle, he's the one that quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, Bori Pri Adoma. How could someone like Ula opt for Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes over Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba? Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Daik V'gomer Shmaitze Mi Rabbi Yochanan Rabbei. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was very careful and diligent in his Torah studies, while he was learning by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes lo daik, and Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes was not so precise. V'od Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba kol talsin yoimin nahadu talmudik hamed Rabbi Yochanan Rabbei. Not only was Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba precise, but he also reviewed every 30 days the Torah learning that he had done in the past month in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Bar Yefes lo mahadir. Rabbi Yochanan Bar Yefes wasn't one who reviewed it in front of Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, it was less diligence on his part, less than by Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. The Oid, and a further problem, Bar Min Dein U Bar Min Dein, besides this and this, Dahu Turmusa, the Shalki Lo Sheva Zinnin B'Kedero, there was a turmus type of vegetable that was cooked seven times in a pot. V'achli Le B'Kinuach Suda, and it was eaten as a dessert, the end of a meal. Also, Sholu Rabbi Yochanan, V'Amalahu Mivorchan Aluya, Borei Pri Adama, and they asked Rabbi Yochanan about eating, about the brocha on the turmusa, which is this thing, this extensively cooked vegetable. And he said, "You say a bari pri adama." So you see, Rabbi Yochanan, even though something is cooked, holds it, maintains its original status of being a vegetable, and hence it gets a bari pri adama. The Ode, and a further objection to the shahakol approach. Omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, ani raisius Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba tells us, "I saw Rabbi Yochanan sheochal zayis moliach ubaruch leitchil b'sof. I saw him eating a pickled olive, as far as Tosfos is concerned, there's a term meliach kerosech, something that's been salted in pickling, is like rosech. It has a din of being boiled. So the Rabbi Yochanan consumption of a zayas milach is we're referring to it as something boiled, and halachically speaking, and he made a brocha tchila v'sof, a brocha before and a brocha after. E amrz b'shamosh shlokes b'mil sayu kaimi. If you say that shlokos retain their original status, so then I'll understand Rabbi Yochanan's practice. B'tchila mevorach olav borei priyo eitz, u'b'sof mevorach olav borocho achas mein shalosh. He'll make the al ha'eitz val priyo eitz brocha, which is similar to the al ha'michya text. If you say shlokos lose their original definition, the original status, so that the olive is no longer considered an olive with regard to brachas. So, I understand what the opening bracha would be, that what you would say, a shehakol on such a thing. What's going to be the final bracha? So, the Gemara says that I can answer that particular question. Dilma borei nefoshes rabos v'chesronan al kol mashe bora. There is a final bracha there, so that this last example of Rabbi Yochanan eating the zayas malicha, making a bracha before and after, doesn't really settle the matter that it's clearly b'milsayu kaimi. Now you notice the triangle flips over. Mosiv Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel. He raises a Tanaic source dealing with Moror on Pesach, and we are still evaluating what is the role or the power of something being cooked. So with the triangle facing up, we're anticipating seeing some type of evidence that cooking does change the status and lower the status to a Shehakol Bracha. Here is the source. The different kinds of vegetables through which one can fulfill his moror requirement. by eating them and eating their stalk as well. Avaloi kvushin veloi shlukin velo mevushalim. We've dashed underlined the main terms. Not sholok nor mevushal, two different levels of cooking. One will not be able to fulfill his requirement. Now, if you were to think that cooking does not interfere with the item's status and it retains its original status, shlukin amai lo, so why wouldn't you be able to be yotze your moro requirement with the cooked moro vegetable? The Gemara answers, shiny hasam. The case of moro is different, meaning, in general, cooking does not alter the status with regard to brachas. However, why by moro would you not fulfill your moro requirement if it's cooked? Deboinon ta'am moro veleka. You have to have the special moro taste, and that special taste will be altered through the cooking. But as far as a bracha is concerned, it is still considered what it was originally before it was cooked. The Gemara that continues is put in brackets, and the reason for this is that if you were to skip this bracketed section, the Gemara afterwards on Lamed Tes Omed Aleph says Nemo Kitanoi. Can we say that the issue of cooking and its effect on the fruit or vegetable is a machloikis tanoim? That will be the attempt of the Gemara over there. So that we would advise, in a non-dafyomi context, to continue the Gemara, skipping the bracketed section, and then appreciating the connection, the logical flow. Within the bracketed section, a piece of Gemara dealing with shiurim, dealing with quantities, comes up. And that's what is indicated on the side under our Nosei heading, the Nosei Bisograyim, the Inyan Shiur Kezayas Lebracha Chrona. Here the Gemara will deal with the concept or the issue of quantity, for how much must be eaten in order for a Bracha Achrona to be made. And the issue of a Kezayas, an Aleph quantity, will be the feature of the discussion. And as we say, after that, the Gemara comes back to the issue of boiling and its status on food items. That having been said, we won't continue the Gemara section of we won't continue with today's shiur of the Daf Yomi. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.